You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
This is, as I said before, this is the in a sense, the last part of the subtext that we're looking at. If you want to go back and listen to previous messages, they are online. There are some CDs kicking around, although I'll have to add the last few messages on there. But so, by way of really quick recap, and it is a mega quick recap this morning, this message is actually about repurposing our lives, finding out why God has made us to be and live how he wants us to be. Who is it that he wants us to be? How does he want us serving others? And actually, part of, I suppose, it's quite interesting living this message out personally. The enemy wants to shut us down. There is an enemy of God, the Bible says, and he wants to shut us down. And maybe there's people here that go, yes, I know that. And there's others going, well, I'm not sure. Let's see where this is going this morning. The enemy has so many cunning ways, and we've been trying to call some of these out through this series. But one, just as a very quick recap, I said right back at the beginning, how did we say, the Bible says, Satan has dominion, control over this earth. He is the one that is in control at the moment. The scriptures say that, and go back and listen to previous messages. And actually, if you can remember, how did Satan inherit the earth? How did it become his dominion? It all started back in the garden with Adam and Eve, and that little word called blame. They were told not to eat from that tree, weren't they? And actually, the woman took it, ate, and gave it to the man. And then God comes looking for them and says, where are you? And he said, oh, it wasn't me, God. It was that woman you gave me. And the woman goes, don't blame me. I've got no responsibility for that. It was that serpent. It's that serpent. And the blame passed from man saying, I'm really sorry, God. I shouldn't have done that. It passed from the man to the woman to the serpent. And the serpent went, all right, it's all mine. Thank you very much. I'll take responsibility for that. And the responsibility for that curse against God laid with the serpent. The serpent is called the devil. And actually, the point of examining that was because that little word blame has a massive impact in all of our lives. And what we've said, we need to take back the responsibility for the things that go wrong in our lives. Maybe the things that we've done or the things that others have done to us. And we take that responsibility back because if we blame, when we blame something, we empower it. And when we empower it, if the enemy's using it, it shuts us down. And I went through a number of examples. You know, you could blame poverty. Oh, I'm a really poor person. It hasn't worked out. You blame money. Then suddenly money has authority over you and it dominates your whole life. It's all about money. And actually, we need to cut ourselves free from some of those things. And some of you might have hurts, things people have done to you, and you blame that person. And I guarantee they come in your nightmares and a situation arises and you blame that person. You say, oh, because of them, this happened to me. And we've got to take back responsibility and say, no, I'm not going to let that person have authority over me anymore. I cut off the blame and I'm going to take responsibility. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to say it's all my fault. So you're not blaming yourself then, because that's still blame. But it's taking responsibility back for those situations. I'm not going to let that person, that thing have authority over me anymore. And actually, once we recognize that we sometimes can fall or falter, and we say, I've recognized the situations where I go, where I sometimes struggle, and things might happen to me, I therefore need to put, and this is where our subtext comes in, these things called guardrails. Now, we've called it guardrails. It's that thing, that shiny thing along the bottom that stops you from crashing off the side of the road. That's what we're calling a guardrail. You could call it the central reservation or whatever else. We've already discussed that in previous messages. But the whole point of a guardrail is it's there in the safe place to stop you from going into the dangerous place. If you hit a guardrail, it can cause some damage. But actually, the damage is probably far less than if you went plowing off the edge. And what we're saying is, whilst we need those on our roads and other places, we also need spiritual guardrails in our lives. And a couple of the previous messages were saying, where's our guardrails with our friendships? Where's our guardrails with our finances? And actually, this week, we're getting to a place where we're going to look at a final guardrail, which is about protecting our hearts. Now, I kind of opened up the message this morning, and being very transparent with you, this message has been one of the hardest ones I've had to write. Particularly this last few weeks, it's been pretty miserable. And actually, having high blood pressure and getting rushed off last week into hospital was the last thing I actually expected to be happening. But sometimes there's bumps in the road. And I'm going to pick up a little bit more on this in a minute. But when we look at how Satan seeks to destroy, we need to be wary that we need to be praying for each other. And sometimes when I preach, I'll be really honest with you. I'm preaching some of this stuff and I think, I feel like a total hypocrite up here. So just to be honest, let's have a level playing field with us all this morning. There's victory, I've said already, in not blaming. We need to take responsibility for our actions. And we have to realise sometimes that our circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in could be a time of testing. Now, I don't know what you think about that, because I arrived at that thought, went, okay, this is quite tough. Is it a time of testing? So I had a quick look in the Bible. Does God test us? Doesn't he know my faith is genuine? Surely God wouldn't be testing me. So I had a quick look in the Bible to see what the Bible says. And if we look, God's people, they were wandering in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 8:2, if you were to look it up, you don't need to, but it says this. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. And I thought, that's quite interesting, because the guardrails I'm looking at this morning is about protecting my heart. And here we are, we've seen God's people in the wilderness for 40 years. And why is he doing that? Because he's humbling them and he wants to test their heart. I thought, that's quite interesting. I'm sure you are too. So we read on a little bit further. And I looked at what the psalmist says. And the psalmist prayed this in Psalm 139 and verse 23. The psalmist says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. Test is there. Heart is there. And know my anxious thoughts. Nobody here has anxious thoughts, do they? You see, isn't the Bible so honest? You know, we are an anxious people and it recognizes that. We have these anxious thoughts. So what does the Bible say about it? I'm quite interested. I hope you are now. So what we've got to do, we've got to bring a living, breathing, hurting message this morning. To that place where we bring it under God's rule and God's authority. Say, are you testing me? Particularly me over these last few weeks. You can make an assumption that when someone stands up at the front of church that they've got it all together and life is all good and fine for them. I tell you what, it can be really tough. And sometimes as leaders, and you'll know this if you're a leader, sometimes you're called to walk through some places and some very difficult things first of all before the people come. And I would say, and I appreciate your prayers over these last few weeks, it's been a horrible few weeks, to be honest with you. But I'm asking God, what is this? If this is a time of testing, if this is about looking at our hearts, and with a couple of verses we've looked at, we've landed spot on for where the message comes in this morning. We need to have a guardrail and a guardrail for our hearts. That's what we're going to try and establish this week. In actual fact, I'll put a little line under guardrails. It's guardrails. I've got four for us at the end of the message this morning. So for those that have been challenged so far, you're going to be going, oh, great, one's enough. He's going to give us four. Now, I'm still working through these messages by Andy Stanley. If you want to go and look for him, I've nicked some of the stuff from him. So if you've already listened to this online, you'll see I've borrowed some of his examples here. He said it was okay to do that. But go back, I'd encourage you, if you want to go and listen to the full Guardrails series, I've missed one of his messages out, so there's another whole thing he speaks about. But it would be a good recap if you want to go back and listen to someone's slightly different spin on it. But let's start with a little bit of a question again, because you see, throughout our lives, we are continually looking at our lives. I don't know about you, but you do something, you observe it, you say, do I need to make any adjustments? Have I learned anything? Could I do that better next time? Andy's phrase, where we're always monitoring and modifying what we do. So when we do something, we monitor it and we modify it. If it was good, we might build upon it. If it was rubbish, we say, I'm not doing that again. I'm going to try something different next time. And every now and again, we find ourselves doing the craziest thing. And when we look at ourselves, I don't know if you've ever said this, why on earth did I do that? Why on earth did I do that? I have no idea. It's completely out of my character. Why on earth did I do that? There's a few heads nodding. Why do we do that? Anybody been in that place? Yeah, good. Because I think we all have, really, if we're honest. So we're going to try and find an answer to why this morning in this guardrail of guarding our hearts. Now, I've got a couple of other Bible verses that we're going to look at. And if you've got a notice sheet this morning, I've written those down in the notice sheet. So if you don't want to have to jot them down, but you want to take it away afterwards and have a quick look, I generally try and put all the Bible verses I use in there. So to add to the verses we've looked at already this morning, Solomon was considered wise, wasn't he? He wrote a lot of Proverbs. And what does he say in Proverbs 4:23? It's got it on the screen even. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, Solomon is saying, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Well, what if that's true? What if everything I do or say, or we do and say, and when I say, well, I don't know where that came from, actually came from something that was already within me? This is a really interesting challenge to the message. Are you catching that this morning? Because sometimes we can externalize all this. But actually, when we say, I have no idea why I did that, there was possibly something within me. We've looked at this verse before. Luke 6:45 adds to it. This is Jesus' words recorded here. Luke 6:45. Jesus has recorded as saying, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Or might say in your version, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That might be the phrase that you learnt as a Bible verse when you were younger. So just to re-emphasize this point quickly, what is Jesus actually saying here? You see, in our reading this morning, the Pharisees, if you remember back, they were having another go at Jesus. That obviously Jesus has got a bit of a crowd around him. They think, oh, we've got a good question for him this time. Killer question. We've really been working on this one. We're going to sort Jesus right out. Go back to Matthew. Have you got your Bible still open in Matthew 15? The Pharisees are turned up. They're going to trip Jesus up in front of the crowd, sort him out once and for all. And they ask this question, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. To which Jesus grabs hold of this. And I love not only his wisdom, but actually the ability that Jesus takes hold of something and he kind of turns it around and throws it back at them. Jesus replies, he goes on to say, and why do you, Pharisees, break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. That's normally when Jesus ends a conversation with somebody. You hypocrites, he says. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Now you and I sit there and go, oh, I know exactly what Jesus is talking about. No, we don't. We sit there and go, what on earth is he talking about? Wash your hands. Blimey, well, should wash your hands, you dirty boy. That's what my mum taught me before I eat. Wash your hands. Is that not right? But actually, there's something culturally going on here that we don't necessarily pick up on. What's the big deal, Jesus, about washing hands? What Jesus hits them with is the fact that they have taken what was once a law for the priests only, and they've turned this into something that they've now put on all of the people. Now, to give an example, Jesus speaks about things that are devoted to God, to honouring mothers and fathers. Now, again, we probably don't connect with that nowadays, but to know what Jesus is talking about, the Pharisees knew exactly what they're talking about, and the crowd knew what they were talking about, and they were really uncomfortable. Now, what they've done, and it's a bit of a clever catch-22 here, they had created a religious loophole, okay, which is, I've said, it sort of avoids inheritance tax. It's one of these kind of fiddles that they could have their cake and eat it kind of phrases. You see, back in the day, probably before pensions and everything else, families looked after families. They looked after one another, especially their aging mothers and fathers. And therefore, if their parents were in need, they could say to their kids, I'm in need, can you help me? Yeah? But what the Pharisees, Dave likes this, I can see that, yeah. It's going to work out for you well, Dave, this morning. I've got your back, brother. But this sounds really good. Great, I can ask my kids to help me. But what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees here, what you've cunningly done is you've taken a bit of an old law and you've devoted everything you have, you've offered it all to God. This everything I have is God's. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But actually, what they'd done, they'd offered this to God, but the law then says, whatever you've offered to God, you can't now give to somebody else. So when your parents come and say, can you help me? They go, do you know, I'd love to help you, but it's all devoted to God. You can't have it. Now, that doesn't necessarily sound horrendous, except there's another little bit to the law. And it says that whilst you've devoted it to God, and you're not allowed to give it to somebody else, you can still use it for yourself. So actually what they've done, they've taken a part of a law here, and they've said, I've got all this stuff that's supposed to look after my family, but I want it for me, me first, if you remember the message last time, me first, need to look after myself. I devote all this to God. I can still use it, but I'm sorry, Mum and Dad, I'm not allowed to give it to you. And Jesus is picking up on this and saying, hang on a minute, you're asking about hand washing here, but actually there's something much greater going on. What they'd done was to create a law which they stood by religiously, but this law actually creates a situation whereby they break the law. So they'd set a law up that causes them to break the law. Confused? This is an example that Andy gave on his thing. He says that the daughter says to her dad, I'm not going to talk to Mum anymore. Has anybody been in that situation? I'm never talking to Mum again. I don't want to disrespect her, you see. So if I don't talk to her, I won't disrespect her. But actually, in setting that rule up, what's she doing? She's disrespecting her mother. And that's essentially what the Pharisees were doing here. They're going on about these laws, they've set these laws up, they've done all these things, but in setting up these man-made laws, they'd actually created an environment where they were disobeying God. Now you might be going, whew, that's a lot to take in this morning, Darren, thank you very much. But listen, Jesus continues. Let's look down in verse 10 and 11. See, Jesus calls the crowd to him after the Pharisees had toddled off and gone, oh, blimey, that wasn't a very good question. I thought you said it was a good question. We nearly got him this time. So they've toddled off and Jesus addresses the crowd and says, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. You see, Jesus is bringing some new teaching here. And people love it when they see Jesus doing the Pharisees down a bit. They kind of go, cool, come on, this guy's pretty good. He knows how to stand up to these Pharisees. And Peter wants to know more. And he asks Jesus to explain it again. Andy's very funny on the video with this. You can just imagine Peter going up to Jesus and saying, now I get it, but the others aren't sure. Can you run it by me again? Just so that we all know together. And I love this. It's kind of that slap on the forehead kind of moment. Verse 16. Don't know what it says exactly in your version, but the version we read this morning, I love it. Jesus says, are you still so dull? Oh, really? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out the body? You know where this is going, okay? In the mouth, yeah, you got it. But the other things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and it's these things that defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, and he lists them there, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Now, it doesn't mean you don't wash your hands before Sunday lunch today. Please wash your hands before Sunday lunch. But this is something else. Jesus was offering some radical new teaching here. You see, they'd followed the laws for so long. And remember, some of these laws, they weren't just the laws that God had given. Man loves making up rules and laws and stuff. And they've been following these man-made laws. And in the past, all they wanted to do in that one-to-one relationship with God is, I want to please God. I don't care about what happens with the rest of you. I want to please God. I'm following the law. Me and God, we're tight. I've got this sorted out. But what Jesus was saying was actually there's something different here, some radical new teaching. These actions that you are doing with all of these man-made laws, they're hurting everybody around you. This me being right with God stuff is not good. you've got to start thinking about others around you. And Jesus' teaching was contrary to what the religious leaders were thinking. I wonder, obviously, with looking at the nation of Israel, look at some of the Jews, you know, they've still got their laws. They're still trying to fulfill all these laws, and they've completely missed the point of what Jesus was saying in his teaching, because these laws come first. But if Jesus is saying what offends people offends God, and that comes from our hearts, from what's within us, then we need a guardrail for our hearts, because our behavior will eventually mirror our hearts, and then our hearts will start to mirror our behavior. I don't know if you remember back to the guardrail, and I know some of you won't have got that message, but we had a guardrail saying, well, who are the people that you hang around with? Watch out, because as you hang around with certain people, you start to become like them. I think we said last time before, you know, Matt, your biggest regret in your life was probably with somebody you knew well. With somebody you knew well that was close to you, you'd let your guard down, your guardrails down, that person got close to you, and in that moment something happened, and that possibly is where one of your greatest regrets lies. Now, on a personal level, Moses, Solomon, and Jesus, they're all highlighting here that our hearts are actually inherently corrupt and we need to guard it. Now, I don't want you to think I'm having a go at you this morning saying, you're all wicked and whatever. But actually, when you say, why did I do what I do? I don't have no idea where that comes from. If we've never looked at our hearts, say, well, what is in my heart? Then we need a guardrail. See, if we need more evidence on this, do you know anyone who's lost a job because of what unexpectedly poured out of their mouth? Do you know anyone who's ended their marriage over cruel words? Do you know anyone whose kids ran away because of what was spoken over them? Or lifelong friendships destroyed because of what was said unexpectedly one day? Now, there may be some of us here, and this is certainly me, that we find ourselves saying, where on earth did that come from? Maybe it was in the heat of the moment, but we've gone, I'm actually quite surprised at myself. Where did that come from? So I'm going to close with this today. We're doing all right for time. We're going to look at these four areas that I mentioned, where we not only hurt ourselves, but we also hurt others. And we've seen, just from the bit that we read a minute ago, that if we hurt others, just to make this clear, we are hurting God. And because God loves them as much as he loves us too, he wants us to be in that place of unity and of love and of grace and of righteousness. So the repurposed challenges this week, the topics that should light up our conscience when we get too close to the edge, these guardrails speak about the heart changes that are required. So are you ready? I've got four words for you. They're going to appear on the screen, and you might go, oh, I identify with those, Darren. I identify with all of them. So if I can put my hand up first, that's me on the screen, okay? If you want to follow me in that one, guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy. Whew. Now, you might not identify with all those this morning. You might be sat there saying, how dare you? Some people might be saying, yep, that's the list that I would draw up for me. Now, I did say at the beginning, I don't feel qualified to speak on this message this morning because I don't want to stand before you as a hypocrite. But actually, if I want to be authentic before you, I need to bring some authenticity that these things do exist. I know they exist. They eat us up, so we need to deal with them. And we're going to break them down into two things. How do those things affect me this morning, and how can I overcome those things in my life with a guardrail? Now, I'm going to whiz through these fairly quickly, and there's probably more we could do on this afterwards. And if you want to chat to me about this afterwards and say, actually, Darren, I really want to pray through some of this. We have a prayer team as well that would love to pray some of these things through. Some of this is just saying, maybe for the first time I recognize this in my life. God has just prompted me this morning, And I just need to deal with it. I need to be set free. I want to stop blaming the thing that gets me down or shuts me down time and time again. So I'm not going to go into lots of detail, but let's just quickly unpack these for a minute. So the first one, guilt. What does guilt say? Guilt says, I owe you. You see, I know the secrets, the things that I'm keeping from you. the things I don't want you to find out, things that leak out every now and again. And actually, those secrets or those things where I start to feel guilty, it starts to affect my relationships, it can affect marriages, it can affect our jobs. When we're guilty, there's this I-O-U thing that's going on and it leaks out. Anger says something different. Anger says, you owe me. And the thing with anger is it's never isolated to that place of origin. For a lot of us here, it can travel with us into different relationships, into different work environments, different situations, and actually even people that you remind you of the origin of the pain or the thing, they remind you of that person that once made you angry. I don't know why I don't like them, but they just make me angry. They remind me of somebody. Now, it might be that there's a childhood wound. There might be a relationship at work, some work-related situation. But unless that anger is dealt with, that anger will eat you up until you feel like you've had payback, till you've had a bit of justice. Greed says something different. Greed says, I owe me. And actually, this is more about week before last message, the last one I did. It's the assumption, I don't know if you remember the phrase, it's the assumption that everything is for my consumption. It's the assumption that everything is for my consumption. None of us like to be called greedy. However, when we hear of need, and I thought this was quite funny because I think, I've done this. You know, there's a big need at the moment, Indonesia. Oh, my heart goes out to them. My money doesn't, but my heart does. Yeah? It's interesting, isn't it? When I thought that, I thought, do we do that? To quote a phrase, it's because I owe me. It was that me first mentality. Listen to the message from last time. And this message, I'm not excluding ladies in this, but I want to chat to the men now because it seems to be more of a men-related issue. Men, we like stuff, don't we? Yeah? We love stuff. Speakers, headphones, cars, well, I don't know what you, whatever it is. Our families, and this is where we've got to be careful, our families can sometimes feel like they have to compete with our stuff. And if our stuff becomes more important than our loved ones, and we sacrifice our loved ones for more stuff, the message last week is it should light up a guardrail in our life. There should be something that goes, hang on a minute, what's going on here? Because our stuff will be around a long time after we pass away. And actually, those family and friends that are left with our stuff, they're going to sell it for absolutely nothing. They might even give it away. They don't care. They never liked it in the first place. Get rid of the stuff. It's not important. How important is our stuff? I owe me is where greed comes in. The last one we've got here is jealousy. And actually it says, life owes me. Life owes me. When we look at others and think, well, actually, they've got what I should have had. Whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is. If you feel you've been cheated out of something that someone else has got, then we need a guardrail in our lives. Now, you may be thinking, I'm not a jealous person. Oh, I'm going to call us all out on this. If I point the finger, there's three pointing back. You know all this stuff, don't you? You know, one of the worst traits of a jealous person is when you find yourself celebrating when somebody else loses out. When that person has got that thing that you think you should have and then it goes pear-shaped and you go, ha, 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 oh, didn't work out for you, did it? You're a jealous person if you've ever been in that place. And who's done that? No, don't put your hands up. But I think a lot of us have been there, haven't they? When we feel we've missed out and somebody else got it. And then when we see their downfall, we kind of go, yes, yeah, got it. They didn't get away with it after all. And that's a dreadful trait. It's a dreadful trait when we think that someone else has lost out on the stuff we thought we should have had anyway. So what can we do about these four things? And there are others for sure. You might be sitting there thinking, I can add to that list, Darren. Come and tell me afterwards. It might help me with another message. There's others for sure. But let's, at least these four might get you thinking or talking this morning. So when we feel it, when we see it, when we notice those traits in ourselves or in others, one of my challenges this morning and part of this repurpose message is we need to do something about it. Now, in all honesty, you might be sat there this morning saying, nope, not me. None of that. I hear what he's saying, but no. And then you walk out the door and you maybe hear my voice appear in your head again and you go, yeah, that was all me, wasn't it? Don't be embarrassed about this stuff, because this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where God says, I love you so much, I don't want to leave you where you are. And if this stuff is trapping you and shutting you down, I want to set you free. If we're going to live repurposed, radically different lives, the Christian life is radically different. Now, maybe the non-Christian would say to Jesus, this is fine, all these things, they're not for me. Jesus' teachings are pretty cool, so I can pick and choose the ones that I fancy, because some of the stuff that Jesus says is all right. But actually, if you're a Christian and you're a follower of God, then these things are not optional. We'll either live, as the summary of the message said the other week, we'll either live as if there is a God, or we'll live our own way as if there is no God. But what we can't do is say, I'm going to have a bit of this on Sunday, I'm going to have a bit of this for the other 6 days of the week. We just live in conflict. You're actually getting the worst of both worlds rather than the best. So here we go. One word answers. How do we deal with this stuff this morning? I'm glad you like one word answers. Keeping it simple. Guilt. Guilt says, I owe you. So what should we do? One word answers. Begins with con. Ends in S. Yes. We confess. You see, this is not confession necessary even to a random person or just to God, as some of the religious things might say, come along and say a bit and go and say four whatevers. It's not that kind of stuff. This is about confessing to the person that you're hiding secrets from or that you might have hurt. As kids, we used to say, you got to fess up. What's a Coventry term for fess up? Did you fess up? You get there as a kid, if you've done something naughty, they say, oh, you're going to have to go fess up on that one. Confess. You've got to confess. It might be that you find confessing some of this stuff is going to go quite badly at the time. But once it's out there in the light, God can get hold of it. And this is why I think this repurpose bit comes in. God takes those things that once shut us down and he turns it into something which becomes a sword or a weapon in your hand that disarms the enemy in all the other areas of your life where this once shut you down. Because if you don't confess, this stuff just eats us up. Our marriages, our friendships are continually being manipulated by an enemy that says, ugh. Better not do that, because if they find out, what's going to happen? And you end up in this place where there's guilt. And that guilt actually overcomes us. We might feel like we've hit a guardrail. Or you might be thinking, if I told somebody what's on my mind right now, they might be sat next to you. It's going to cause damage. And it might be. And if your car hits up against a guardrail or whatever it is, there is some damage. But actually, that can be repaired, and you didn't go over the edge. And the whole point of these spiritual guardrails is that thing is now out in the open. And I think if something's on your mind this morning, you need to think about, well, how do I deal with that thing? Now, I'm not here to make you feel guilty this morning. That's the last thing I want to be doing. But actually, if there's a still small voice whispering in your head, for me, that's how I believe God speaks to us. And God speaks these things to us because they are things that shut us down, because an enemy wants to use those to manipulate us. And God says, I want you to be rid of that. And it's not always painful. It can be one of those things you confess and you'll be really surprised. Even if you don't want to share it with the person that you think you need to confess it to, my encouragement to you this morning would be, share it with somebody that you can trust. Because you need to fix your heart. That's what the message is about this morning. You need to guard your heart. That's what the verses said a minute ago. And if you are heartbroken, it will eat you up. Guilt says, I owe you. Confess. Once you've confessed it, the hard part's done. Then you can look at repairing and fixing it from there. Now, anger. Let's move on to anger. You owe me. One word answer. How do we get past that? We forgive. And this is not just a passive thing either, like, I forgive you because you were terrible to me. we do that, don't we? That's the easy bit. Oh, you're rotten to me. I'll forgive you. And that might be the case. But actually, in that moment, what we feel is that something possibly was taken from us. And you and I need to work out sometimes, well, what was taken from us? And then we need to forgive. Then that person doesn't owe you anymore. Forgiveness, the word forgiveness, it means cancelling the debt, doesn't it? And actually, I know for some of us here, you say, well, I don't know if I can forgive that person. If I forgive that person, aren't I letting them off? Yeah, you are. But you're also doing something else. You're letting yourself off too. And that's the key to coming back to saying, I take responsibility for these things in my life. Because without forgiving that person or forgiving that situation, it haunts your dreams, it haunts your thoughts, it haunts your business decisions, it haunts everything. And particularly if it's attached to a person, because you'll carry it into the next relationship, the next job, whatever it might be. You don't owe me anymore is what you need to say in that situation. You are forgiven. Anger, you owe me. I forgive. Greed says, I owe me. And this is a little bit of the message last time. How do we get around from I owe me? Give. Give. We need to smack greed down by giving. Now, this may be in an unconditional way to something or someone who's never asked us. You just suddenly end up in this place where we give generously and we say to greed, you don't control me any longer. And I know I mentioned this to men earlier, but if we have stuff and it's precious to us and it's causing rifts with the family or whatever, then maybe you just need to get hold of it and sell it. And maybe you just need to sell it for the price they would sell it for. And actually, you may just need to sell it for the price that they would sell it for and then take that money that you got for it and give it to somebody else. And then you can smack that greed down. Greed will be gone. My heart is free. Don't let greed come back. Live in that others first kind of lifestyle that we spoke about last week. The Bible talks about being a cheerful giver. Being a cheerful giver. Why? I give because I'm cheerful. I don't think that's what the Bible's teaching us. I think the Bible says keep giving until you're cheerful. It just turns it around another way. Peace comes from knowing that we don't have to rely upon myself anymore. I don't have to rely upon me, but God will give me everything that I need. And therefore, he gives me what I need and I can give to others. I am a cheerful giver because I'm just not worried where the next thing comes from. It's not me, me, me. If you're in need, let me give to you. If you know somebody that's in need this morning, can you give to them generously? And then that little greed thing, that little bit of I owe me, me first, just goes. It's just not there anymore. I should have waited to take the offering at the end, shouldn't I? Oh, next time. Jealousy. Jealousy says this. Jealousy says life owes me. Actually, if we're really to start unpicking jealousy, and you're in church this morning, it's not that life owes me, is it? Actually, as Christians, we go one step further, or maybe as non-Christians. What do we say? We don't say life owes me. Who owes me? God owes me. That's where we really get down to it. God owes me. God never gave me what I deserved. And I might see family and friends getting the things that I think I should have. God, where was I when you were handing out the whatever? Where is my portion? God, you've shortchanged me. And actually, we have closed hands in this situation. We look at my closed hands and go, God, I didn't get enough. This isn't what I signed up for, God. My money or my health is not what I think I should have. Instead, we need to open those closed hands and we need to look at what we've got and say, God, well, this is what you have given to me. What do you want me to do with the things that I have got? How do we deal with this jealousy? Life owes me. God owes me. What do you think the word is? Thank. Thanks, good one. Thank is the root. We could turn that into something a bit more exciting. Celebrate. We can celebrate, can't we? That's what we need to do to get rid of that jealousy. We celebrate. We celebrate those things in our lives, but also in the lives of others. And celebrate out loud. If you miss that promotion or that pay rise, you know, thank you very much. You know what I mean? But it's not. It's like, you know, genuine. And be honest. You know, I really thought I was going to get that. I really wanted that. But you know what? I'm actually genuinely so pleased for you. Here's a card. You know, I've actually written it down. I'm not going to let jealousy get hold of me. Genuinely celebrate these things. If you're sincere in your celebration, you will drive out jealousy. Jealousy comes from the heart with celebration. Now, you might not feel like doing any of these things. You might look at that list on the screen this morning and say, no, not for me, Darren. But look, these are the guardrails. These are some of the things that I just want you to think about this morning and put some of these things in place, because these guardrails will drive out guilt and anger and greed and jealousy from our hearts, and we will have repurposed lives. And that's the point of some of this repurposed stuff. Last time we looked at what masters us. Who's in control of you? What manipulates you in certain situations? Do you look at some of these things and say, well, I only ever go so far because you might put them in an order of number one, anger, number two, guilt. You might order those things, or you might say, actually, all of those things are there this morning. What actually masters you? Do any of those things master you on the screen? And actually, there's something, they've called it mirror work. I listen to some of these phrases that they talk about sometimes. You need to do some mirror work, guys. What's mirror work? It's where you look at yourself in the mirror and you have a long, hard talk to yourself in the mirror. Well, there's four things to have a chat about. Guilt, is there any guilt in my life? Anger, is there any anger there? What about greed or jealousy? You don't rule in my heart anymore. I'm going to celebrate those things. I'm going to give unconditionally. If there's someone that needs forgiving, let me forgive them. If I need to confess something because I've got secrets and it's shutting me down, then I am going to do those things because I don't want to be that person anymore. And this is where I'm going to land this morning. Jazz, do you want to go and get the others for the band for me? And this is where we land this morning. It's going to go back to, if you want to draw in your Bibles, if it's the church Bible and you're drawing it, you'll have to take it home. It's yours. Proverbs 4:23 is where I'm just going to land this back again. Because this was the wisdom of Solomon. He said, above all else, guard your heart. We've even got guards in there, guardrails. Put these guardrails around your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And this is what we were talking about earlier. There were the Pharisees chatting at Jesus and saying, oh, you're not washing your hands. And okay, we know about germs, but actually it goes in one and it comes out the other. That's not what defiles you. What defiles you is the things that come out from your heart. And if the things that come out from your heart and you're saying, I have no idea why I do what I do sometimes, it may just be that there's some root stuff in there, whether it's jealousy, guilt, anger, whatever it might be. That's my prayer this morning. This is what God is saying to us. So we're going to take a moment just to be quiet. The band's going to come. We're going to sing a closing song together. But I just want you just for a moment, just to sit quietly and just actually say to God, look, above all else, God, what is there in my heart that I need to bring to you this morning? So let's just bow our heads for a moment and we'll pray.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.